President Bush spoke this afternoon. Okay, we all set? Okay, as you see tonight, hopefully we'll see how far we get. We have about 17 or 16 or so different Divrei Torah for the Seder. They are in order. If we don't make it through, so then you'll have it in front of you. This is another Haggadah that you could bring to the table. And they're all from different sources, which we'll mention as we go along. Okay, the first comment just I found interesting. It's just from the on page 1 and 2. It's from the commentator's Pesach Seder Haggadah. The reason it has such a long name is because this Rav Sender, the author, this is his fourth sefer on Inyanei Haggadah. The first one was called the Commentator Seder. Second one was Commentator Haggadah. Third one was Commentator Pesach. So the fourth one, what are you going to name it? He named it the Commentator Pesach Seder Haggadah. But that's but he there all the way at the beginning talks about the idea of simanim. The simanim that we say, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, you notice that we don't do that by any other mitzvah and any other yontif of the year. You know, we don't get up and say, shofar, and then blow shofar. You know, so what's the, you know, we know what we're going to do. Let's just do it. You know, what do we have to, you know, announce it? And not only announce it, some people have the minhag to re-announce it before each one. So what exactly is the significance? And it's miyuchas l'rashi, these simanim. They're not just an addition of the achronim. So what exactly is the significance? There are a number of approaches stated, but there's one idea that I found interesting, the bottom of page 1, an itinerary. There may yet be another reason why we're required to list the evening's events before actually beginning the Seder. When one prepares for a long trip, he receives an itinerary detailing where he is going and what he could expect along the way. Thus, an itinerary prepares the traveler emotionally for his trip and gives him the opportunity to make all the necessary arrangements. Similarly, we are told that on the Seder night, each Jew, Ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim, before embarking on this journey, we are given an itinerary. In other words, we have to know where we're going. We have certain goals we want to get to at the Seder. We have a destination. We have a spiritual destination, what we want to feel. The best way to get there is to announce it beforehand to make sure that we know where we're going. That's the itinerary you get from your travel agent. You're excited about it. You know what you want to do. All your mahus is directed towards that destination. That's the siman. And we want to end up by Nirtza. We want to end up close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to end up Magid, where Magid is supposed to be, the Maisa Mitzvos, etc. That's just one small idea related to the siman. Before we even get into Magid, which of course will be the crux of the Divrei Torah, there's just one idea on Karpas, which I never heard before this year. Karpas. So why do we do Karpas? Karpas, why do we do Karpas? You know, everybody has their own vegetable to dip in, and we know backwards Karpas spells Samach Perech, Samach, which is 60, but it symbolizes the 600,000 Perech, hard work, Samach Perech. So the 600,000 Jews that had to do hard work. But let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara itself talks about Karpas. It's not on your sheet, but the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amid Beis says, you know why we do Karpas? So the kids ask, Kiddisha Yishavu HaTinokos, to do strange things on the Seder. After all, we're supposed to, you know, keep the kids interested. We're not supposed to, you know, also the Rashbam even says, you're supposed to have some Divrei Torah during Magid, but if one has small children, you're supposed to kind of not rush through it, but move, so you want them to be up for matzah and maror and everything else, so you can talk more after the Seder. But, so that's why we do a lot of things on the night of the Seder, so to keep the kids interested. That's what the Gemara says. But why Karpas? We could have done a lot of things to keep the kids interested. A lot of strange things. So there's a Gemara in Psachim in the end of the fifth parak on your sheet, the top source. Tana. Kol echad ve'echad nosein pischo. Sorry. Turn that off. I just got a call right beforehand. That's why I turned it off. Oh, so Gemara says, Tana. Kol echad ve'echad nosein pischo ba'oro u'mafshu la'achorev. The minhag was, when they had it, used to have a carbon Pesach, they used to put it literally in its or, but they used to put the carbon Pesach before they ate it on their shoulder. To put it on their shoulder before they ate it. Why? So says the Gemara, Amar of Ilish, Tayos. Rav Ilish says, you know why we put it on our shoulder? Because of Tayos. What's Tayos? So look at Rashi. Amar of Ilish, Tayos, last Rashi in the Perek, Derech Socharim Yishme'elim Huzeh. It's the way of the Ishmaelite merchants to carry things on their shoulder. So that doesn't really help us. Why do we do it by the Korban Pesach without Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim we have to act, but so what does the Yishma'ilim have to do with it? So maybe we can understand it based on an idea found in a number of Svarim. I just gave you one example of that of the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, which we're going to see in a minute, discusses that the whole Golus of Mitzrayim, and some Midrashim link this to it as well, is based and connected to as an Onesh to Mechiras Yosef. Because the brothers sold Yosef to Mitzrayim, so too because he became a slave in Mitzrayim, so too we had to become slaves dafka in Mitzrayim. If you look at read the Abarbanel, we'll see how this connects to Karpas in a few minutes. Says the Abarbanel, v'sheyoter roi sheneyachzeu l'shiftei b'nei Yaakov, we should be miyaches the whole Golus experience to the b'nei Yaakov. Kinei haTorah heida sheim chatu chata gedola. The Torah testifies that they had a great sin, b'sin aschina mes Yosef achehem, the hatred that they had for Yosef, and they wanted to kill him, etc., etc. So says the Abarbanel, the whole experience was really a mida keneged mida, going back to what the brothers did. Skipping a few lines, line 11, ulafi sheim chatu haya mishuras hadin sheyakablu onsham. Right, they're supposed to get their punishment. Because they sold him eventually to Mitzrayim. So it makes sense that they themselves become avadim in Mitzrayim. Heim of the name of Azarim, etc. 16. And because they threw Yosef into the pit, so they went down to the pit of Mitzrayim. And not only that, Kol Shekola ben Hayolod Hayorat Hashlichuhu. They threw him in, they get their sons thrown in. Everything, mida keneged mida parallel. Ulafisha al yadam yarad Yosef al Mitzrayim, and because they caused Yosef to go down to Mitzrayim, later on in history, Yosef caused them to go down to Mitzrayim. Right? Because he was the one that sustained them. So says the Abarbanel, part of, again, not all of it, but part of the Golus Mitzrayim was due to the chait of Yosef's brothers. That's the pshat of the Gemara, Korban Pesach. What do? We act like Yishma'elim. Yishma'elim merchants. Why Yishma'elim? Because that's originally who they sold it to. Connecting the Abarbanel to the Gemara, that's why we have this tie of Derech Yishma'elim Huzeh. Fine. What does this have to do with Karpas? Very nice idea. Let's keep going. There's a Rabbeinu Manoach, one of the Mefarshim, one of the early Mefarshim on the Rambam, in Hilchas Pesach, Chametz Matzah, in Dalet, on the same page. Says Rabbeinu Manoach, when the Rambam quotes the halacha of karpas, when we dip the karpas into the salt water, says Rabbeinu Manoach, va'anu noagin b'karpas, why do we do karpas? Zecher l'ksones ha'pasim. Zecher to the ksones ha'pasim that was dipped in blood thousands of years ago. Sha'asa Yaakov avinu liyosef. The Yaakov did to Yosef asher b'tzibasan nisgagel ha'davar. When we dip the karpas, we're thinking about the ksones pasim. Because of this whole background of Mitzrayim. But again, we're still lacking. We didn't get the clincher yet. So what does Karpas have to do with Ksones Pasim? So fine, Mitzrayim. And he connects it. But what's behind his connection? So we just need one more source. A Rashi on Chumash. That we've all read many, many times to be Maver Sedra. Beginning of Ayeshev. Ksones Pasim. What does the word Pasim mean? Coat of many colors. What's Pasim? So finally, to wrap it all together, in Osei, Pasim, Loshon Klei Milas. Pasim means fancy material. Like what? What does Rashi quote? The Pasuk in Megillas Esther. Chur Karpas Usacheles. Karpas means fancy material. Karpas means is the translation of Pasim. That's the word Karpas. Karpas doesn't mean vegetable. That's what they told us to do for Karpas. You know, we're not going to dip a piece of baguette into blood. That's what they tell us to do. But what's behind Karpas? Karpas, that's mamish, the translation of the word pasim, according to Rashi. Ksones pasim. Well, we're dipping Karpas, we're imagining, remembering the begging into the dam. At the beginning of the Seder, even before we start Magid, we remember and we realize what caused this all. We remember the sinas finam. We remember the ksones pasim that was dipped in blood and the lying that took place to try to cover it up, which ultimately led to Golus Mitzrayim. So again, step one is the Gemara in Pesachim connecting it to the Yishmaelim. What is that? The background of the Abarbanel. Fine. So we know the Golas Mitzrayim connects to the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. That's all part one. So what does that have to do with Karpas? Then you have Rabbeinu Manoach. Rabbeinu Manoach says that that's why we do Karpas, because of the Ksonis Pasim. Ah, but you need the clincher. What brings it all together? What does Karpas have to do with Ksonis Pasim and with Yosef? That's the Rashi on Chumash. Rashi says Ksonis Pasim is Hur Karpas Uschelas. We can read the Megillah. We all know the Pasim. We never think Karpas, Karpas. That's what Rashi says. Karpas is the Ksonis Pasim. Okay? So that is, again, feel free to ask questions as well, even though I'm probably going to be doing most of the talking tonight. But that's a one idea on Karpas. Again, I never heard it before. I heard it from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein on a tape. So he quoted some of these makoros. Okay, next. The Netziv. Avadim Hayinu. Avadim Hayinu. Okay, we skipped the Lach Ma'anya, Manishtana. We spoke a lot about that last year. Two thoughts on Avadim Hayinu. One larger thought. This first one will probably not be for the Seder. It'll probably be for a daytime, unless you're only having adults at the Seder. Somewhat a little more lengthy, but it's a beautiful idea, as you'll see. The second thought is a little one that's more Seder. But again, we have to speak. You know, you have a Shabbos Cholamoid this year. We got Yontif. You know, Haggadahs don't become Muksa after the Seder. So it's one is allowed to look into the Haggadahs even afterwards. Okay. So it says, we'll see how this connects to Avadim Hayinu all the way at the end. But this is a nativ to remember. Okay, in Parshas Va'era, I'll just start it with a question, which the nativ also addresses at the end. If you look in Avadim Hayinu, those of you who have Haggadahs here, I didn't put it here, we say Avadim Hayinu l'parah b'Mitzrayim, v'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu, b'yad chazaka u'bizroa netuya. I took you out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. The nativ notes, all the way at the end, which we'll see, there is no pasuk that says that. Yad Chazaka et Zroa Netuya. In Parshas Va'era, on the top of this page, on top of page 4, it says, second line, V'ga'alti etchem bizroa netuya. That's the Zroa Netuya. Yad Chazaka is in Sefer Dvarim. We combine it to make the phrase in Avadim Hayinu, Yad Chazaka et Zroa Netuya. And as if it's bothered, there are enough psukim in the Torah, why do we have to take two and make one? Use the regular pasuk. What's the emphasis? Yad Chazaka Zroa Netuya. It's as if we're trying to emphasize. So what exactly is... So you could start with that question. Why is that... what is the Haggadah, the Baal Magid, trying to tell us? Okay, so let's go to the right side now of page 4. Yesh Levar. Let's start with even... a few lines down. Line 5. Umitchila Yesh Lahaktim Lashon Braisa de Mechilta. The following Medrash is the secret of it all. Parshas B'Shalach. Halapasek Vayosha Hashem Et Yisrael Mian Mitzrayim. Hashem saved... us, Vayosha, the pasuk we say every day. The Medrash on that pasuk gives two metaphors, two mishalim, comparing Hashem's saving us in Mitzrayim. Two mishalim. What are they? Line 7. Ka'adam shahu ochez et hasipor. Like a man is holding a bird in his hand. She'im ratza miyadu chonka. What were we like in Mitzrayim? Paro, it was like we were in Paro's hand like a bird. And if he wanted, he could just squeeze. That's what first mashal. Hashem saved us from such a situation. Number one. Number two. Uke adam shehu shomet es haubar mimei haparo. And like a person who takes a fetus out from the womb of an animal. So too Hashem saved us. So, as it bothers you, it bothered the Netziv 150 years ago, what are these mishalim? What are they meant? Again, almost all midrashim were given as drushes by the Tanoim. Right? The medrash is from the time of the Mishnah. So obviously, what's the message here? What's the message of this medrash, given the two mishalim, the two metaphors of the bird and of the ubar? So here he goes. Line 10. Va'biur demilvad chozik malchus Mitzrayim va'oso hazman. Besides the general danger that existed at that time in Mitzrayim. We were in danger. There were two hayuot shnei dvarim lemifka l'tachlis hayitzia. There were two specific problems that existed by the Jews in Mitzrayim, more than just general danger. Two specific parts, aspects of the situation that made it even more difficult, quote unquote, for Hashem to save us. What were those two aspects? Echad shahayu next kalim shahayu kol yisrael b'makom echad. All the Jews were generally in one place. We were all in Goshen. Maybe we're a little outside of Goshen. But we were all there. Says the Netziv, that makes it somewhat more difficult to save. Why? When Paro started getting hit with the Makos, and Hashem starts saying, I'm going to punish you, I'm going to punish you, what could he have done very easily? He doesn't have to go search them out and smoke them out of their caves. He could just, right, boom, that's it, they're all in one place. He could have killed us. There's even a Gemara that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed by scattering us and making it more difficult for our enemies to kill us. Line 5, Avalochein hayah b'Mitzrayim, shayu akol b'makom echad. We were all in one place. And if he would have wanted, while he would have gotten pesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could have squeezed us, like the mushel of the bird. Like the bird's in the hand of the person, just squeeze. He's getting hit and hit. So somebody, you want to get the bird? I don't care. I'm going to do a lahakas. I'm going to kill him. I'm not going to let him go out. So I won't have a vazim. Paro easily could have done that. V'hainu mashal atzibar b'yadachas. V'im yavo chaveiru hachazak mimenu. If his friend, who's stronger, comes, v'yakeo pa'amushtayim, sh'enichanem yado. And if his friend comes and says, let the bird, give me the bird. What does he do? Tough. Mahu oseh, kisharosh en yachol amok enekdo. He sees that he's not going to win the fight. He just kills the bird. He closes his hand. Doesn't matter how many makos Hashem would have brought on Paro, he could have just killed us. We were all there, right? So says the Netziv, what's the only way to prevent such an act? If the situation is like the bird case, we were all in one spot, he could have just squeezed. There's only one way to prevent that. That means no let up. Keep hitting him, keep hitting him, keep hitting him. Don't give him time to think, oh, what could I do? What could I do to prevent what's going on here? What could I do to get back at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yachol? So that's how Hashem saved us, by keeping his hand outstretched on Paro and not letting him have time to think. And even you have a few days in between the Makos, enough time to worry about the next one, but not enough time to try to think about plans. Aval Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hitzilu, Hashem saved them. Ulaze hayamol beemes tokev hamakos. Elohayloze eitzah. What was the only thing to do? Hainu miyatzim lahamaka es ochis hatzibur. We would tell the person shebeshashu makel lo yu hakosa behefsek beintayim, not to have a break in between. Shiye bezekadei lehisyashi malasos lahakas. If you give him a break, he's going, okay, I want to get back at him. What could I do? If you give him a night to think about it, elayakeo pamakar pam bizroa netuya. The only way that you could have prevent such a killing is by having your outstretched hand, by not letting up. Until he has to let go of the bird while the bird's still alive. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and that's what the phrase in the Torah means, Zroa Netuya. An outstretched hand, I mean, God saved us like that mushel of the bird. Mushel of the bird, an outstretched hand, and he didn't give Paro time to think. The Makos kept coming. Part 1. Says the Netziv now, as we started off a few minutes ago, but there was another danger specific to this situation in Mitzrayim. And what was that? Turning the page now. He continues, again, we're not going to read everything, but again, you have it in front of you to read afterwards. Next page, line 4. Shanus, what's the second specific problem in the Mitzrayim situation? Another problem is that even if a person wants to save another person from a situation, it's not going to work unless the victim wants to leave. If the victim is ready to run out when you save him, then your salvation is going to work. You can open the jail door. If they sit in jail because they love it there, all the salvation is not going to help. So says the Netziv, the same issue existed in Mitzrayim. There were so many Jews that wanted to stay. There were so many Jews that were rich, the Midrashim point out. There were so many Jews that served Paro. They were on his, in the government, there were certain Jews. 4/5 of the Jewish nation was killed out during Choshech. 2 million Jews left. So how much is 4/5? More. That's a lot of Jews that died in Makas Choshech. Now think about it. Millions of Jews.
So says the Netziv, because they would have prevented the Yetziah. That was the Rov. So says the Netziv, line 11, so what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He killed out the ones that would have prevented. V'hainu, that's the mashal. That's the second mashal of the Ubar. The Ubar, the fetus, is in the calf. He has everything he needs there. It's nice. He likes the environment. He doesn't want to come out. You have to force him out. You have to force him out, and only in that way will he come out. It doesn't matter how much you hit the para, the Ubar doesn't want to come out. You got to take it out. Nikra biyad chazaka, line 16. That's what it means, a strong hand to force him out. Shemashmo balkarcho, by force. Says the Netziv, that's the double lashon of Zroa Netuya and Yad Chazaka. Zroa Netuya, which is parallel to the first metaphor in the Medrash, the metaphor of the bird in the hands, that means outstretched arm, not giving them time to think, so he can't squeeze. The second metaphor of Yad Chazaka, you force him. That's parallel to the second metaphor of the Ubar, and that's related to that aspect of the Hatzalah. Fine, those are the two, and that's why, we didn't get to the punchline yet, but that's why in Avadim Hayinu, we take two psukim and we put them together. We put it together and put in Yad Chazaka from one pasuk and Zroa Netuya in another pasuk, because we want to illustrate and we want to remember both of that solace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Okay, but just one more note, which adds a lot. In the Harchev Davar now on the bottom, which is also the Netziv, same page, on page 5, he says, think about the first line of Avadim Hayinu. Let's think about it together. Avadim Hayinu v'paro b'mitzrayim. Vayotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu b'yad chazaka v'zroa netuya. Says the Netziv, and I'll say it outside first. Avadim Hayinu l'paro b'mitzrayim. We were servants to Paro. The Midrashim say we were to Paro servants, but we weren't servants to the lower class. In other words, l'paro, there were many people that felt good in Mitzrayim, that didn't want to leave Mitzrayim. That's what's alluded to in the word l'paro, that they were high up in the upper echelons of the society. Avadim Hayinu l'paro, which alludes to the fact that some Jews didn't want to leave. That was the first aspect that Netziv was talking about. B'Mitzrayim, we were all in one place. We were all in Mitzrayim. That represented the second danger that was against HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us. Avadim Hayinu l'paro b'Mitzrayim. Says the Netziv, l'paro, what got us out of the problem of l'paro? The problem of, you know, the people who didn't want to leave? What's the first thing we say? V'yotzeinu Hashem l'keinu? Yad Chazaka. We put Yad Chazaka first, because that's parallel to l'paro. Yad Chazaka, he got a strong hand to force us out if we didn't want to leave and kill the people who would have prevented us. And then, had we solved the problem of B'Mitzrayim, that was Zroa Netuya. We were all in one place. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Zroa Netuya, he didn't stop. He kept the makas coming on, not giving power time to think. That's how. Now we know how to read Avadim Hayinu. Avadim Hayinu, L'paro, number one, B'Mitzrayim, number two, V'Yetzein Hashem L'ken, B'Yad Chazaka V'Zroa Netuya. Okay, so we have connects the double washon, the two different dangers, the two different ways HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, the two different metaphors in the Medrash, the double washon of Avadim Hayinu L'paro B'Mitzrayim, Yad Chazaka V'Zroa Netuya. That's Avadim Hayinu, according to the Netziv. Okay, we're not going to read it inside, just to save some time to make sure we get. But again, that's what the Netziv says in the Harchev Davar. Okay, that was the more lengthy piece on Avadim Hayinu, and as I said, I think you'll agree with me, that's probably either for during the meal or for the day meal. Probably not at Avadim Hayinu when people are a little itchy, even though we have till 12:59 this year, because we changed the clock. Okay, so I'll give you a small thought on Avadim Hayinu, a quickie. Says from the Harei Kedem, which is the new volume that Rav Shurkin just put out with the thoughts of the Rav, he says, at the end of Avadim Hayinu, we say, Mitzvah l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, l'marvah l'saper is a meshubah. Mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah for us to discuss in Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Rebbe was bothered by that one letter. What's the bit? Mitzvah l'saper al Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mitzvah l'saper as Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the b'yitzias Mitzrayim? What's the in? The left side of the page, bottom left. Avot Tzarech, line 2. Avot Tzarech biur, halashon l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. What does that mean? The nira da halashon b'yitzias Mitzrayim, ba'la horos lanu, What it's telling us, B'yitzias Mitzrayim, Shetzurasu Matbeya Hasipur, Hu Ba'ofan Shi'ikanis B'chol Kocho V'Kocho, Iyuno, L'toktochem Shel Inyani Hasipur. B'yitzias Mitzrayim, get into Yitzias Mitzrayim. Give it your all. Ki'ilu Hu Yatsami Mitzrayim. Don't just say it like it's a history lesson, something that happened in the past. Chayav Adam L'Saper B'yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to get into Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to feel it. The mitzvah l'saper b'chol ha'pratim im kol ha'hergashim, the pratim, the details, the feelings, ad kadei she'yiras atzmo ki'ilu yatsa Mitzrayim. The Brisker Rav said this is the most difficult mitzvah of the year. Chayav Adam l'haris atzmo ki'ilu yatsa Mitzrayim. But that's what we say in Avodah Mayinu. We're going to try. Mitzvah l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, in yitzias Mitzrayim. V'zol l'saper yitzias Mitzrayim dafka li'oz munach kol gufo b'guf ha'sipur. You have to get into it, literally. B'yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, that's a smaller thought on Avodah Mayinu. Okay, so if we continue the Haggadah, Avodah Mayinu, then we have Baruch HaMakom. Remember last year we spoke about HaMakom a lot in the Shabbos Haggadah Drasha. Just one more interesting, more of a Hasidish Vart on the Dalad Banim. Two Varts on the Dalad Banim. One Hasidish Vart and one from the Beis HaLevi. So I'll give you one of each. Okay, so it says, it's a beautiful Haggadah. It's called Haggadah's Gedolei Yisrael. One little volume, very nice thoughts in it, but he quotes something from the Ripsitzer. Ripsitzer. Okay, so on line page 7. He says, the big question that all the Mefarshim, kim'at every Haggadah that you have will ask this question. What's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? Right? We jump on the Rasha because the Rasha says, Ma'avodah zos lachem, what's this work that you are doing? But two lines earlier, so, and we say, because he was hoti, that's what minachal, your work, so we throw him out. But the Chacham, two lines earlier, said, Maha Eizva Chukim, Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu, Eschem, you! So come on, every Haggadah says, Lachem, Eschem, what's the difference? So last year, if you remember, we spoke about that the Chacham mentions the Shem Hashem. We spoke about if you love something, we spoke about the Ben Yishai and Shaul, if you remember that. A different approach. You know, so what's the difference? Why do we not get upset at the Chacham and get upset at the Rasha? So, this Admar quotes, Rabbi Medaktikim, the middle of ours, the Hevzo, Bedivere Chacham, Bedivere Rasha. Bene, Hagamar Mevia Shabbos Nunhe. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Chosamu Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The signet of God is truth, is Emes. Why is that? Why does Emes symbolize Hashem? So Rashi there quotes, if you think about the word Emes, Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph phase, Tav is the last letter, Mem is right in the middle. Symbolizing Hashem was, is, and will be. That's what Rashi says on that Gemara. That's why Emes is associated with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just literally truth, but you have the beginning, Aleph symbolizes God created the world, He was, Mem, He is, He's in control, Tav, He always will be in control. That's what Rashi says. Using this Gemara now, we come to the Chacham and the Rasha. Line 4. Ulefize mevar hakeren Yeshua delakach omer hachacham asher siva Hashem alkenu eschem. Look at the word eschem. Aleph, saf, and the two middle letters chaf and mem. Eschem. In other words, he's being modeh to the past, present, and future. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Hayahove v'iyah. Eschem. Kafisha hachacham mamin bemude shlema shakadosh Baruch Hu haya aleph hove. That's the chaf and the mem. V'iyah. That's the word eschem. Aval harasha inu mamin. What is the Rasha? He only sees, okay, Hashem's here now. Who knows if He created the world? Who knows if He'll be there in the future? Lachem. They're all middle letters. They're all right in the middle of the Aleph base. Ma'avodazos lachem. There's no Aleph, there's no Saf. The enam ha'mesulafos, his slanted eyes, asher rose achshav, lakach omer ma'avodazos lachem. They're all middle letters. Shehem osios ha'msayos ve'inu mamin hu b'haya ve'yiyah. He doesn't believe in the past and the future, only the present. What's the next line? Ulafisha hotzi es atzmo min haklal. Kofar be'ikr. He was mostly the S. He was mostly the Aleph and the Saf. Hotzi es atzmo min haklal. Kofar be'ikr. That's kfira. To believe in God now, but not believe what He did and what He will do. Kofar be'ikr. That's what he says. And just as a P.S., and again, this is a little more of a stretch. It gets into gematria. But again, it's a cool thought. When thinking about the Yom Naran, the Gera Rebbe says that if you, when Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll just say it outside, but it's the next paragraph, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Midian, and Hashem appears to him at the burning bush, and Moshe says, they're not going to believe me, I don't want to go back, how do I know, how are they going to believe me, how can I convince them? So Hashem says, just an enigmatic phrase, Eya Asher Eya, I'll be what I'll be. Okay, different version what that means. It says the Gera Rebbe, you know how Moses, how am I going to convince them that what you're saying is true? Eya is Gematria 21. Eya. Eya Asher Eya, says the Gera Rebbe, is 21 times 21. 441. That's MS. Eya Asher Eya is MS, right? 21 times 21 equals MS. And he says, and that's Pshat, and what we say, the Chol Ma'aminim Shehu Dayon MS, Hehel Goy Be'eya Asher Eya. What does one have to do with the other? That's what it means. The Chol Ma'aminim Shehu Dayon MS, he's a true judge. How do you know Hehel Goy? He's expressed Be'eya Asher Eya. That's the name that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell him this name, which again, in Gematria, refers to MS. And then that is what we say in Chol Ma'aminim. Again, Gematria is, the source of Gematria is already in the Gemara and the Rishonim. But again, you have to know how to take it. You know, to add spice to something, you know, it's not a problem. Again, you know, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. How do we learn that? But it says Nazir, it says Gadol Yiyeh, right? You should grow his hair Yiyeh. Yiyeh is Gematria 30 days. That's how you say the Gemara uses it for halacha sometimes. But not usually. Okay, so that is an idea on the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. The Lachem and the Eschem. But now let's see a Beis HaLevi. In contrast, and again, this is to really contrast it to what we had earlier, but again, Elu ve'Elu. Says the Beis HaLevi, again, I gave it to you from Parshas Bo, it's also in the Beis HaLevi Haggadah, they quote the Kovitz from a lot of other places where the Beis HaLevi discusses it. Says the Beis HaLevi, again, discussing, we'll get to the Dalet Banim, specifically the answer that we're going to give the Rasha. But let's just read, again, it's a big piece, but let's just skip around. On page 8. Amnam Yosir Niret, says the Beis HaLevi, Da'aparsha Ayri Beben Gadol Umalumad. It's difficult to say that we're talking about a Rasha who knows nothing. What's he doing at the Seder? What's he asking? He's asking, what's this Avoda? He obviously knows that there's an Avoda here. So it's difficult to say that we're talking about a real Rasha. You just remember last year, Avraham Soloveitchik's part about the Dalet Banim. It's really four stages of our own development. It's not four different people. But anyways, he says, it must not be talking about somebody doesn't know anything. It must be an educated person. Hayodeya in Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he knows everything that's going on. So what's the problem with the Rasha? Raklibo Natal Etzad Haminim Ba'Hapikarsim. But he has a certain Hapikarsis tendency to him. As what? Hamischakmim, ba'omim ta'amim l'mitzvos, those people that say reasons for mitzvos, ba'achareishim siyuei zatam, she'inu shayach b'zvanim elu, and once they say and give a certain reason to a mitzvah, and then they say that reason doesn't apply anymore, so then yomer shekarnis batla ha'mitzvah, b'chiyu b'chalila. They say, hey, this is the reason for the mitzvah, b'meil, the reason's not here anymore, so let's be mevatalit. Ukimo kat hariforim, right? Formim hamishubashim bedaitam hanosim zman lahamitzvah. They say there was a certain time period the mitzvah was current. But Omer mitzvah zuaisu shayeches azbos asman. It makes a lot of sense that they did this then. Misiba shabodim bilibam, right? For reasons that they themselves make up. Lo bizman hazeh o rak oso makom. It only applied there in Eretz Yisrael and Galus oso Medina, etc., etc. That's step one. That's really the mistake of the Rasha. Not that he rejects it, but he's going to prove it in a minute. But what he thinks is that the batal hatam batal hamitzvah. Line 13. Behine mitzvahs pesach l'chora ein l'kros achuka. The Torah calls korban pesach a chok. But if you think about it, says the Beis HaLevi, it's very hard to think that korban pesach was a chok. Think of what we were commanded to do. And again, just to save time, we're not going to read all the sources. We took the Egyptian god. We kept it at our beds, so for 4 days they could hear the Egyptian god tied up to our bedpost. We shechted it. We put the dam out in view so everybody could see. We did a lot of things to, like, show the Mitzrayim that this wasn't a god. That Hashem hu Elokim. So it's very logical. It's very easy to give a reason for the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. And that's what he does in the next column. Proving this. It was all about being the Vatel, this idea of Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim. So what does the Rasha come and say? Moha avoda hazos lachem. What is this avoda that you were doing? I agree, in the past it made sense for them to do it in Mitzrayim, when Avodah Zarah was around, when there were other, you know, other mitzios, other realities. But today? Moha avoda hazos lachem. What are you doing this for? You're trying to get rid of Avodah Zarah? It makes no sense for you to do it today, says the Rasha. The Rasha admits that in the past, you know, it made sense. But ma avoda azos lachem? What's this avoda for you?
That's what he says. I'm just going to save time, not going to read everything inside. On page 9, top of the page. Ava bizmanenu eila, during these times, asher kulanu chachamim u'maminim, we're so smart, ve'ein ba'olam shum zichron, there's no avoda zara. So he says, that's what he says on line 6, ma avoda azos lachem, bakrev ez ha-pesach, ein zu chashuva avoda Hashem kach. Hashem wants this now. You think Hashem's interested in this? The reason doesn't apply anymore. Forget it, ma avoda azos lachem, etc. And what do? We're haki at Shinov, the next paragraph, and we say, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. Why? Because yes, there are certain reasons for mitzvos. But of course, the reasons are just to add some spice to it. But it's not that the mitzvah only exists for the purpose of the reason. Now let's read his lashon. Now he's going to say his yesod. Line 37. Mikol makom bavadik de'ein ze'ikar yesod shel ha-mitzvah. V'lo mitam zeh nischach ha-mitzvah. You can't say that the mitzvah is only because of such a reason. V'atam eino rak de'bishvol zeh mutal aleinu achov l'kayim. We only have to do it because of the reason, etc. Aval, line 5 in the next column. Ikar yesod shel ha-mitzvah. Lama kach ye'mitzvah einenu bishvol zeh mashahaya v'mitzrayim. You know why we have Karban Pesach? Really? Nothing to do with what happened in Mitzrayim. Shariat Torah kadma la'olam. It said we have to do a Karban Pesach before the world was created. Right? The stakel baraisa bara alma. First there was the Torah, then there was the world. Says the Beis Halevi, I'll just say it in a one line now, it's not that we have to do Karban Pesach because of what happened in Mitzrayim. What happened in Mitzrayim was because there was a mitzvah of Karban Pesach. The mitzvos are the ones that are eternal in both directions, forward and backwards. The gam kodem ha'olam ha'isah ha'torah v'yiktiv bei mitzvos matzah. What did Abraham and Sarah bake for the malachim? Pesach haya. What do you mean Pesach haya? Mitzrayim didn't happen for thousands of years. Rashi says Pesach haya. Lushi v'asi ugos. It was matzos. What do you mean matzos? What, they rushed out of... No, the mitzvos are there. Pesach happens because there was a mitzvah. It's not that we have a mitzvah because there was a Pesach. V'gam Avram Avinu v'chala avos kima al Torah kula ashlo ninna. All the avos did it. V'imkenu b'la tesla ben Nisan achal Avram matzo maror. Avram ate matzah on the 14th of Nisan at night. Why? Because that was a mitzvah. And that exists separate from the story that was going to happen later on. V'yal karach ha-mitzvah zelo lo nismuchu migubos mitzrayim. The mitzvahs didn't come up from the geula. Rakula hefech. The mitzvahs mitzvahs pesach matzo maror. Because of the mitzvah, that's why we were zochet to have the geula. Just the opposite of what we would think. And that's why Vizel Demeshav Harashach HaKirosav. And what do we say? What do we say? And this is the Pshah. What do we answer after the Rasha? We say the Rasha, if you got to the Vidcha B'yem Olemar, Ba'avur Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'Tesim Mitzrayim. Ba'avur Zeh, because of the mitzvah, Asa Hashem Li B'Tesim Mitzrayim. That's why Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim in the first place. That's Dafka what we're answering the Rasha. He says, Ma'avod Azos Lachem, what are you doing? Forget it. It's all based on the reason, and the reason doesn't apply anymore. We say, Bavur Zeh. Because the mitzvah comes only because the mitzvah was there, and we only got out of Mitzrayim because there was the mitzvah in the first place. Lo amar lo, Bavur Sheh Yatzati Mitzrayim Ani Oseh HaMitzvah. Rak LaHefech. And that's what applies by all Tamei HaMitzvahs. Okay, again, he adds in other issues, but let's leave it at that to try to move on to some other thoughts. Again, sorry I might spend more time on each one, but I think you'd want me to move on also. Okay. Now, let us go to Mitzchilo of the Avodah Zarah. Just a small idea I saw from the Dubna Market. Now, the Migdal Eder Haggadahs, the old ones. My father used it. You appreciate things as the years go on a little bit. I never realized how much is in there. It's really like 30 or 40 different Mepharshim. I don't know who they are. So I was glancing through it on Yochanan Yerushchode. Emes LeYaakov. Oh, who's Emes LeYaakov? Oh, look at the front. It's the Dubna Magid. Rabbi Yaakov B'Dubna. Amazing. So anyway, he has just a pshat. Mitzchila ov le'avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, page 10, ve'achshav kerbanu ha'makom l'avodaso. We were originally ov le'kochavim, ve'achshav kerbanu ha'makom l'avodaso. This is just a nuanced way of reading it. Says the Dubna Magid in the Emes LeYaakov on the bottom. Da, ki hatam bedover hishtanus toar umanuseinu hanifcheres, asher kodem ma'atorah hayu nikron b'nei noach, ve'achar ma'an torah in koren avos el l'shlosha. Think about it. Before Matan Torah, we were B'nai Noach, B'nai Terach,
B'nai Adam, there was a biological link between us and the earlier generations. That's what existed prior to Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, that's when we got Yichus. That's when we became B'nai Yisrael, B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. More than a biological link. Says the Dibna Magid, again, I'm not going to read it inside to save time, but you can read it. Mitchila, originally, before Matan Torah, Ovdei Kochavim Hayu Avoseinu. We were called B'nai Ovdei Kochavim. We were called the B'nai Noah. We were called the B'nai of everybody beforehand. Mitchila, before Matan Torah, Ovdei Kochavim Hayu Avoseinu. V'yachshav. But after Matan Torah, when a change took place, we are not only biologically connected to the past, but now there's a halachic connection, a yichus connection. V'yachshav kervano makom avodah. So now we have a different title. We're known as differently. That's what he says. Masha'en came, the end of the Kiterim, line 5. Kiterim kibalnu aleinu al kosi yisbarachu matan Torah, before we accepted Hashem. Hayin nechshalanu la'av, gam mishayim me'avram ulamawa. Everybody was our av, even from Avram up, backwards. Gam shayim ovidei kochavim, even though they were idol worshippers. Masha'en came, achra asher hichnis, osanu, turning the page, bevrisa, v'kabalas elokuso. He says, then it changed. And that's the pshat. Mitchila, before matan Torah, they are our avos. We had different avos. After Matan Torah, we got different avos. Now, in avos, Elishlosha, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as the Gemara says. And it's just a new way of understanding the Lashon of Mitzchila, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avosein. Okay, just a question of what to say and what not to say. I guess we'll go straight until we have to stop. Okay, another Nitziv in the Harchev Dover. This is the Harchev Dover in Gracious, on the pasuk by the Bris Bein Habasarim, on page 12 in your packet. Again, just to outline a question. We have three, and this was a word for the next three paragraphs in the Haggadah. You don't have it, but if you mention the next three after Mitchila, we have Baruch Shomer Haftachas Holi Yisrael, right? Hashem keeps his promise that he was Mechashi Zaket, Yodoa Teida, we quote the on the Bris Bein Habasarim. Then we have Behisha Amda, Flavosein of Alanu, etc. Then we have Seyuluman Mafiki Shlavan Haramami, Lovin Arami, what he wanted to do. So the Siv is going to give us an insight into the connection between those three paragraphs, which are the next three, what exactly we're doing, and he's going to show that it's really all three connected. Again, Baruch Shomer, number two is Vihisha Amda, number three, Seyul Amad. Says the Nitziv, a number of questions. Let's go to line four. V'yod Seder Hamagen Acharezer. First of all, he's bothered by the Lashon of Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ol Yisrael. He keeps his promise to Yisrael because he was Machashiv the case and took him out 400 years later. He says, Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ol Yisrael sounds like Hashem always keeps his promise to Yisrael. He kept it one time, the 400 years. What's Baruch Shomer? Hashem kept his promise. Wasn't Li Yisrael? It was the Bnei Yisrael then. So what's the beginning line of Baruch Shomer Haftachas Ol Yisrael? What is that referring to? It sounds like he's always keeping his promise to us. But the psukim that are quoted is just the verse in Ebesarim. He kept his promise. Question number one. Question number two. The Yotzi, there are Magad Acharezev, Hisham Dalav Oseinu V'lanu. Right, this is what happened. Shalom Echad Dovada, Madal Chad Oseinu. Every door, HaKadosh, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. Say Olamana, Abikish Lavan Harami. Again, it quotes Psukim by Lavan. But what does that have to do with the eventual Geula, which we seem to have Behisha Amda, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us? So again, we seem to be quoting Psukim at a specific historical moment in time. But we seem to be relating it to the general time. It sounds like a specific event in history. Another question, line 8. Od yesh lo havin lefizeh, hadak amr tseu lamad. Ma yesh lo lomo mi Lavan. Learn something from Lavan. What are we learning from Lavan? What was unique about Lavan? So he hated us, so everybody hates us. So it's Vahish Amda, then everybody wants to kill us. Go learn from Lavan. What are we learning from Lavan specifically? Hello, Belozos, Yadu Alanu. We know, everybody wants to kill us throughout the generations. So says the Nitziv, Ela Iker Habir Bechol Zeh. Line 10. This is the explanation. Shehamagid haven b'davar ashbivar Hashem ki ger yerazaracha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at the Bris Bein Habasarim, you will be a stranger. We have to know what that phrase means. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, levad apirash ha-pashut shu nevuah shi'ilem gam k'geirim b'eris lo lahem, besides the pashtus Hashem says you're going to be a ger in a land that's not yours. But those words of kigeri yezaracha, you will be a stranger, there are two extra levels of interpretation that we have to know, where it's underlined. Aval od yish kavanas bezahamai mar, line 12, the kavana is chada havtocha v'shenis azhara. There are two things that we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Abraham when he says kigeri yezaracha. Besides the specific historical content, right then, I'm going to redeem you 400 years, 210 years, whatever. So he says, what is that? One's a haftacha, a promise. V'shenis azhara, a warning. What is that? Haftacha, what's the promise that Hashem says? You will be a stranger. She'ishairu gerim v'lo yishtaku bu macheres. You will always remain B'nai Yisrael. You'll go into many galios. They'll be hard. There will be sorrows. It will be terrible sometimes. They'll want to kill us. But ger yezaracha, you will always remain, you will keep your identity, you will remain B'nai Yisrael, you'll never totally assimilate. That's a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us with the words kiger yezaracha. It says in the Tziv, kiger yezaracha is also an azhara. It's also a warning. Shein is azhara sheyu geirim. Be strangers wherever you go. V'lo yishtadlu lishtakeh ba'aris l'olahem. Don't try to be like all the nations of the world around you. You think becoming like them and totally assimilating is going to make it better for you? Hashem warns you, you should be strangers. That's what the Netziv says of Kigeri Yezaracha. Number one, it's a promise. Number two, it's a warning. Says the Netziv, now we can understand the three different paragraphs in the Haggadah. Number one, Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LiYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promise. And we quote the Pesukim by Bris Ben Abasarim. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that we'll never be destroyed, we'll never be totally assimilated. Alatacha, that's what it means. Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LiYisrael. V'chivin Sherah, Kiyim Yiu Ol B'Mitzrayim Yishtako Balkarcha Mirov Tzaret. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, if we stayed there another second, we wouldn't come out. He took us out. But really, it applies in every generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, it applies in every generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us before we might lose our identity. That's the haftacha. That's on the one hand of that's on one side of Hisha Amda, the haftacha of Bormashar Haftachas of Israel. But then on the other side of Hisha Amda, we have Seva Mad, Mabike Shlavan Ha'arami. Says in the Tziv, that's part of the Azhara. What's the Azhara? Don't be like the Goyim. Keep your own identity. Even Lavan, who was your relative, who you would have thought, I'll be nice to him. I'll be friendly. We'll have a great time together. It won't be so bad. And look what Lavan wanted to do to you. Even Lavan, say Olamad, go learn from Lavan. And learn this lesson for all Galios. Nobody potentially could have been as good as Lavan. And look what happened to Lavan. Lavan was Bikish Lachar Sakol. He wanted to get rid of everything. And in the middle we say, V'hisha Amda Lavosinu V'lanu. We have the Bar Shomer, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Haftacha that will always be different, will always keep our identity. On the other hand, we have the Azhara of Seul Lamad, that we always have to be like ourselves, be ourselves. And as Rav Chaim Volozhin says, I mentioned this before, if a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, a Goy makes Havdalah. If we're not Makadish ourselves, if we don't make ourselves separate, Goy's going to do it for us. He'll be Mavdalas. He'll separate us from the rest of them. So right in the middle, v'hi sha'am d'alav v'sein v'alano. This is what has kept us going throughout the generations. This combination of the haftacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Azhara. Both alluded to in those psukim of kigeri yezaracha, the eres lo lahem. Okay, those are the three paragraphs of Baruch Shomer, v'hi sha'am d'alav v'sein v'alano. Next. Okay, that's been the tip. Page 14. Two beautiful ideas now, both from the Rav, from Rav Soloveitchik, on the psukim that we quote, and we darshan the psukim. One of the psukim, just to save time, let's do the second one. The first one is also beautiful, 14 and 15. We'll do it if we have time to do it. Page 14 and 15. So we'll come back to it, but I really encourage you to read it. Let's just go to page 16 now. Let's do the second one. Vayar es onyenu. Hashem saw our oni. He saw our oni. So what exactly is the pshat of that phrase, the psukim, that this is part of the Haggadah a lot of times that we rush through, but really this is part of the ikar part, it's the psukim. Darshing the psukim is a very important part of the Seder. The Yaras Anyenu. And this is, as we'll see, this was Siyata Deshmaya, or Binune asked me something 6 months ago, right after Slichus the first night. I'm going to have an answer right here. I didn't have an answer until this. I saw this. Habir bazeh diyesh tsaros k'sha'adam ispala l'ashem b'kol godol b'tsa'aka. There are tsaros that people daven for. With a great voice, we daven with all our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The altfila misug zeh ne'emar la'el v'yishma Hashem es koleinu. In Shmona Esrei, Shma Koleinu, hear our voices. That's regular davening, what you say with your mouth. But there's also Re'eva Anyenu in Shmona Esrei. Says the Rav, Al Yich Tzaras, Rachmana Litzlan Ha'adam Sova B'dumia. There are some Tzaras that we bear silently. The Eino Soikim of Akish Klau. We don't even have words to put it into. V'Hashem Yisbarach, Sha'akol Galui V'yadua Lefanav. Hashem, who knows everything, roeth ha'yisurin v'ha'ini shel ha'adam. He sees our pain. He sees the situation that we're in. Vayaris anyenu. Re'evi anyenu. Shma koleinu, re'eva anyenu. Listen to our tfilos, but also see the tsarist situation that we're in, and help redeem us from that. Shakadosh Baruch Hu shomea afilu es ha'bechi v'atzar shebelev. He even hears the cries inside one's heart. V'go'aleinu mikol tzaroseinu, and he redeems us. Those are the two, that's the pshat and the two brachas in Shmona Esrei. And that's what it means by Yaras Anyenu. But now we come to what I was referring to before. We say in Slichas, Misha'ana, the Misha'ana, at the end of Slichas, Misha'ana Avram Avinu Bahara Moriah Hu Ya'aneinu. So Rabbi Nun asked me, what does that mean? What did Avram say? He answered Avram Avinu. What did Avram daven for at the Akedah? Misha and Avram, I said, I don't know. So, Misha and Avram, what did he do? Pshat. Misha and Avram Avinu Bahara Moriah Hu Ya'aneinu. He who answered Avraham, I'll answer him. So what did he answer him? Says the Rav. Umatinu kein zev akedas Yitzchak. Shemafurish b'mishna b'tainis. Shemosif b'tainis siba b'bracha shel goal Yisrael. In Re'eva Anyenu, in that bracha, on a tainis sibur, you add, Misha'an es Avram Avinu Bahar Maria Hu Yana Eschem. Bitzorach Bir, Delo Masinush Avram Avinu Espal Bahar Maria. Alright, that's, we don't find that Avram davened anything by the Akedah. So what do you mean Hashem answered him? So Venir Al Pianal, says the Rav, it appears the following. Again, it's different midrashim, but there's one midrash at least that says, Sha'af Sha'avram Avinu Halach B'Sim Halach Kodesh B'No, even though in Avram's heart he wanted to do the Akedah, Mikol Makom Zolguein Abdmos. He was crying like a father cries, Rachmanis on his son. He was doing it because it was a mitzvah and he was believed Simcha to do the mitzvah. But he had feelings for his son. He was crying. V'zeleshonu Shaleach Yali Tolos Asakin. He took the knife, the Ena Moridos Demos, the No Flows Demos of Enough Shal Yitzchak, Merchmanoso Shal Abba. So, Bahabir, what's the explanation? Sheim Kala Simcha Shal Mitzvah Shal Avram Avinu. Avram got up early in the morning. Bayashkim Avram Aboker, he got up early. Mikom Makom Hamida Shal Rachmanuso Shal Abba Vimkoma Omedes. The situation that he was in was pain. He was upset that he was doing this, even though he knew he wanted to do it and he had to do it. Misha Ana Avram Avinu Bahar Maria, what did Hashem hear? He heard the Re'eva Anyenu of Avram Avinu. Hashem, Avram Avinu didn't daven anything. He didn't say anything. But there's another type of tefillah. The Oni. The situation, the cries believe. Misha Ana Avinu Bahar Maria Hu Ya'aneinu. He should answer our cries that we have. And that's why Dafka, that whole thing is said in Re'eva Anyenu. Because that's where Avram Avinu was answered. It was the Oni that was answered. It wasn't the Kolos that was answered. That Mishnah in Tainus says we specifically add these in the bracha of Re'eva Anyenu. And just to add on one more, at the end, this is from Rav Shurkin. He quotes from the Sabbath Mislobarka. I'm on 25. We say an Anam B'Koach, which is one of the most beautiful Kabbalistic tefillos that we have, right before L'Chadodi. Usually we say it quickly. But what do we say? Shavaseinu Kabel. Accept our crying out. Ushma sa'akoseinu. Hear our cries. Yodea talumos. You who know hidden things. So ask the Sabbath Mislobarka. If you're crying out, it's not hidden. What do you mean, Yodea talumos? You should say, Shomea tefillah. Hashem, hear our cries. Hear our screams. You who know hidden things. It's not hidden. You're screaming out. Says the Slava Mislobodka, it's the two different types of tefillos. The Zorach Bir and Mayer B'Sa, number one, it's the tsa'akot, it's the screams, the peh, but it's also the onis, the screams belave. And that you need the Yodea Talumos. That you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear. And that's what we're referring to in Anavakoa. Shavaseinu Kabel, what the Lashon is again. Shavaseinu Kabel, Shratza HaKoseinu, Yodea Talumos. Hashem, don't only hear what we say, but hear what we feel. And hear what situation that we're in. That's out of Ayar Esanyenu, the pasuk again that we say in the Haggadah. Okay, again, we skipped the other one, but again, I really suggest that you go back to that one. Okay, just get, we'll finish, start at 5 minutes late. We'll have five more minutes? Okay. I'll just tell you what some of the other issues are about. Page 17, the Toldos Adam. Again, it's in this great Haggadah Shal Pesach, the Migdal Eder. The Toldos Adam is the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam. But he, in this piece on Dam Tzvardeya, we're not going to read it, he goes through how each Makkah was Mida Keneged Mida to what the Mitzrayim did to us. Okay, we're not going to go through it now, but that's what each Makkah was. Each Makkah was parallel. They made us, right, just through the first one. Because they made us schlep the water all over the place for no reason, we made their water into blood. Because they made us cry and scream and krechs and sigh, we gave them frogs, which scream and cried and screams and set. Go through every Makkah paralleling how it's Mida Keneged Mida. Okay, I'm not going to go through it all, but that's something that's just give you an insight into what he does there on page 17. Okay, just to see which ones we're going to do. Page 18, again, is a nice thought from the Beis Halevi on Dayenu. We're going to skip that for a minute. Let me just see which ones we'll do in our remaining time. Let's skip also the Siach HaGrid, because I don't want to go too much over time. That's also an idea why Shulchan Aruch is one of the simanim. You always have a meal. Simchas Yontif. Why is Shulchan Aruch so unique? It merits its own simen. Rachza also, you have the question. Okay, but that's what the Rav deals with in Siach HaGrid. Okay, let's just do the last three pages together. First page 21. Yeah, maybe next year we'll start at 8:30. We'll see. Page 21. This is from the... Sorry? This will... I don't want to... We'll see if you'll have to sell the chametz too. Page 21. This is from the Haggadah of the Chafetz Chaim. Just two insights I saw on benching. On benching. Okay, so we can say this. We're allowed to say this word all year round. So the... Harachamanu yimach aleinu li'olam va'ed. So the Chafetz Chaim is talking about just notes. It's interesting. By there's so many mitzvot. And all of a sudden, by we have all these harachamans. What are all the harachamans after benching? Benching's over. Even there are three brachas daraisa, one bracha darabanan. Then we have harachman, 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 harachman. Give this, asking things. So what is that all doing there? So says the Chafetz Chaim, Amar Chafetz Chaim, the first one. Adam hazakuk lishua, the person who needs a salvation. Yeda shehaes hamesugelas liyeshua, the best time to ask Hashem for something, he la'achar atiyas hamitzvah. After you do a mitzvah properly, Kodesh Baruch Hu zneiz ratzon, you did Hashem's will, he'll do your will. Azay nishmas tfiloso biyoser, then your tefillah is heard the best, bizchus hamitzvah shekiyem, you did a great mitzvah, so Hashem's on your side. So said, that's the best time. You bench. You do that mitzvah daraisa. Right, we said there aren't too many brachas that are daraisa. Maybe birchas haTorah and birchas hamazon. That's it. All the other brachas are derabanan. But says, birchas hamazon, you bench properly, you do a mitzvah daraisa, you can say harachamans. We all try to, oh, I'm a grunik. I don't say the harachamans. You know, we all try to, no, but this is, this is what the Chafetz Chaim says. You have to give significance to the harachamans. Harachamans, you do a mitzvah properly, then you can say the harachamans. But he adds, ne'el of yuvan, it's totally illogical and understandable. Shekefitiyum hamitzvah. The better benching you have, the more kavana you have in benching, the more chance you have to have your harachamans answered. Because it's all about doing this after the mitzvah. You do the mitzvah great, got a great chance for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer you. Harachamans parallel and mirror how good your benching was. That's one note. Chavetz Chaim. Another idea on the same page. Chavetz Chaim has a harachaman who your parnaseinu b'chavod. Give us our parnasa b'chavod. What exactly does that mean b'chavod? This is an interesting story quoted. So says the Chavetz Chaim, which right at line 7, Einonu mevakshim l'hisasher. We... Believing Jews, we do not ask for riches per se to make us rich. We don't believe, we're not ovdei avodah zara to money. Money is always a means. Ha'osher nisayonu, and it's even a temptation. Money is a temptation. Umalo la'adam levakesh nisayon. What do we want nisayonos for? And it's again, I think it's really a temptation sometimes. Einenu mevakshem el lesparnes b'chavod. We ask Hashem, Hayarachman, if I find a sin b'chavod, we need b'chavod. Give us what we need. Give us what we need. Give us a little berevach. We don't have to struggle. So we have enough to sustain our family. Send our kids to yeshiva, etc. Shenucha lavod Hashem below tirdos. So we don't have to have so many. We have to have six jobs. That's what we're davening for. Let us make enough money with our one job. We don't have to run around and do night shifts, etc. Rachman, if I find a sin b'chavod. Just quotes a story that Rav Shimon Schwab said over, and he learned with the Chavetz Chaim, that one time when the Chavetz Chaim came into the Beis Medrash, he said he had a fast, the time is Chalom. So they said, what was your bad dream? So Chavetz Chaim says, I became rich. I became rich in my dream, so I have to have a time is Chalom. So they asked him, that's a bad dream? You know, you get some money? So says the Chavetz Chaim, line 13, Ana vadai alai latsu bimanashach. Bimanashach, I have to fast. Why? This Gemara in Brachas says your dreams reflect what your inner nature wants. What you were thinking about by day, you dream about by night. So if it's true that I became rich in my dream because I really want money, I better fast. Better do tshuva. Imu alaylat sum l'shem tshuva v'charata. Klum yahu she'ilu hayu hiruv shel adam zakin kamoni. I'm an old man. I'm a Rosh Hashiva. I should dream about money. That should be what should I want? So if that's why I had that such a dream, I better fast. But says the Chavetz Chaim, Elamai. So what's the other reason you have a dream? Okay, it wasn't because I want it, but it's because something that's going to happen to me in the future, I also have to fast. Why should I want to be put into that nisayon? Elamai lo harti b'kak biyom, or is it mitzvah chalomos hamagalom la'asid? Alayla his anos, to be korea the gzeira ra. Again, the famous story of the Chavetz Chaim. Guy comes through his house, he goes to the Chavetz Chaim and says, where is all your furniture? And the Chavetz Chaim says to him, where's all your furniture? So he says, I'm just passing through. The Chavetz Chaim says, I'm also just passing through. Right? So that's the famous story of the Chavetz Chaim. Anyway, so that's Harachamani for Anasina B'chavod. B'chavod, give us what we need. Give us it us in a menschlich way. Okay, finally, just to end off with one word on Chad Gadya. Chad Gadya. Okay, which is a very... very insightful vart for our time that we live in, Rahman al-Islam, the past couple of years, the past 20 years, but it's something that we really end the Seder with this as a tefillah. Give significance to Chad Gadya. The Baal Haggadah, and again, this is from the commentator's Pesach Seder Haggadah. The Baal Haggadah describes what looks like a scene of victimization with a seemingly defenseless cat complaining bitterly at being bitten by the dog. Right? Because sometimes your kid comes in and says, oh, look what he did to me. You didn't see the beginning of the story. Yet the truth of the matter is that the cat is really the instigator of all the trouble and not the victim at all. We see the dog jump on the cat. Oh, the dog, what a bad dog. The cat jumped on the kid, on the goat. And the dog only sought to redress a wrong out of a sense of justice. See, since he witnessed the cat biting the innocent kid. Thus, even though the dog looks like an aggressor, he is really the righteous one. From this we learn that he who cries loudest is not always the innocent party. He who has the most media on their side is not always the victim. But it takes a discerning eye to sort out the truth from illusion and right from wrong. And he quotes a story from Shmuel Misalant. Somebody once came to Shmuel Misalant's Bezdin. He walks in, bloodied, and he's bleeding, and his shirt's ripped. Oh, Rebbe Yankel! Get Yankel, he's a terrible guy. Can't believe he did this to me. So the Rishon Lishon tells his chassidim, go find out where Yankel is. Go see if he's okay. They go out, Yankel's half dead, they take him to the hospital to save his life. They go to the Rebbe, the Nevuah. How do you know that Yankel? Only one guy came in. He said, if somebody comes in like this, and there's no other party here, I know something's the matter. I know maybe this guy isn't such a victim. Maybe he's the aggressor. This should be a lesson to us in the last paragraph, that oftentimes we pity the one who seems to be the underdog, when in truth he's the perpetrator of the crime. His appearance or the oppression he made on us fooled us and led us to make a wrong assessment of the situation. Just as we observed in Chad Gadya. We end off the Seder by saying, Va'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our tefillah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out on top. And he writes the world into realizing who's the aggressor, who's the victim. Let everybody see what the real truth of every situation is in life. That's how we end the Haggadah. That's our tefillah. And that's how we'll finish off. So long. But Jim, after Meyer, if anybody wants to sell comments, I have the sheets here. Okay. Okay, Shabbos Haggadah is 4:45.
Shabbos Haggadah is 4:45.